standard for a lot of your favorite trap albums, you know. I mean, like, Future really owes it to him. And so Metro Boomin produces this Future Metro Boomin collab, which is kind of like a bit of a posse cut too, because he's like, you know, he knows a lot of rappers, you know, and it's this big posse cut where everybody's taking shots at Drake. Some indirectly, but I think they're implicated just because, you know, it's his album and they kind of know what's being said on the album, and, you know, they're not like asking to get their verses taken off, so it's all good. You know, they inadvertently, they're signing on a little bit to diss Drake a little bit. So some notable names include A$AP Rocky was on there, The Weeknd, Rick Ross, Future, and then of course, most notably, Kendrick Lamar. And so Kendrick Lamar famously gets on this track, and we talked a little bit this last week, but Kendrick Lamar famously gets on the track and says, F the big three, it's just Big Me. And for those sort of unacquainted with the sort of current state of hip hop, he's referring to him, Jermaine Cole, J. Cole, and Drake, who are the kind of big people in hip hop right now, I think, who are kind of, you know, making the songs that you're listening to right now. This is a real, you know, keep in mind, this is a real contemporary take of the hip hop landscape. You know, I think that, like, those of you out there probably think Tupac's up there, the big three, you know, but this is a real contemporary take of it, you know? And so the last little bit here, and we talked a little bit about this maybe a month ago, but J. Cole kind of ignites this beef, and, you know, he's not really implicated anymore, but he kind of disses Kendrick Lamar and says this, like, diss thing is, like, corny of Kendrick, who, honestly, this is, like, you know, not quite a shot at Drake necessarily, but, you know, he's implicated on the track, and Kendrick, evidently from his control verse, which I talked about earlier, is no stranger to stirring up drama and sort of, you know, pushing the issue on hip-hop and sort of pushing for rappers to reignite the passion of hip-hop, you know? And so J. Cole disses Kendrick, but quickly rescinds his diss track. And you can't find it anymore. It's no longer on any streaming services because he went and apologized for it, you know? And so this sort of kicks in the action of this whole beef thing, because Drake sees this as, like, you know, a chance for him to, you know, get his, you know, diss and get his 2 cents in, you know? And some might say, and some speculate that, like, you know, Drake won, but, you know, needed something to sort of ignite and get the ball rolling. And so the prevailing conspiracy theory, at least on Twitter, is that J. Cole was put up by Drake to start this beef so he could, like, really get into the meat and bones of it. So we're going to take a quick break, and then from there I'm going to talk about the current state of the diss track war. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM for my next track here. We just take a little break so I can, I've been talking for like 20 minutes, you know, trying to update the people on the beef. For my next track, I've got a song by Paige Rabat called All Right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
Gonna be a man in there. It's not just in your head. You wish you were dead, but you're alright.
Hi, it's Mike, host of Noise of Carpet on Wednesdays at 1 p.m., reaching out with a very special pronouncement. Thank you for keeping your radio dial locked on CJSF 90.1 FM. Each time you tune in, you're part of something bigger. Independent voices and programming for all, and we are grateful to you for that. Thank you for listening, and do not adjust your set.
Welcome back to Rap Beef 2024. We're covering the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef. And I'm realizing that I packed a little bit way too much content than I actually have in my hour. So which is really funny because I also made like a playlist of music and I'm probably not going to get to play it. But, you know, nonetheless, we digress. So if you weren't with us before the break there, we were talking a little bit about the origins of this beef, right? How did this all start, you know? And, you know, I'm sure all of you guys, you know, who are just tuning in, kind of get the gist of what we're talking about here. And we're talking about the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef that is probably inescapable on your social feeds. And even your mom's probably posting about it on Facebook and stuff. You know, everybody knows about this thing, you know? But, you know, I spent some time and talked about a little bit about how we got here. How it's a long-standing history of Kendrick Lamar stirring the pot and, you know, trying to ignite a flame into the rap game, how Drake's kind of been known to be a bit of a liar, and he's inherited this sort of beef from, you know, his constituents, from his people, you know? And so how this started was, obviously, Metro Boomin dropping his Future collab tape, kind of, you know, poking at Drake, and, you know, Kendrick Lamar's on that, telling everybody how, you know, there is no top three. It's just Kendrick Lamar. It's always been Kendrick Lamar. He wears the crown. He's the king of hip hop, you know? So this obviously elicits a response from Drake, and everybody's been waiting for Drake's response, because, like, that was kind of a banger, that song that Kendrick Lamar was on. And, you know, as I've duly noted, what makes a good diss track is not just only about the lyrical content. It's got to be like a, you know, it's got to be a catchy song on top of everything, you know? No one's just trying to hear, like, you know, no one's trying to just hear, like a rap sheet of, like, all the things they've done on, you know, they want to hear some rhymes, you know what I mean? And so Drake drops Push Ups, which is, at the time, and albeit, you know, 3 weeks ago, I kind of thought it was a big Drake W, to be honest, drops a massive banger, and he kind of kills it, you know? He's dissing everybody, talking about how it's a 20v1, telling Metro to shut up and make some drums, who's the producer. He takes a lot of, evidently, the main target is Kendrick Lamar, and just taking a lot of jabs at Kendrick Lamar, talking about how, you know, which is a little hypocritical, but talks about how, you know, he's kind of sacrificing a bit of his artistry as a rapper to make pop music, which is super hypocritical of Drake. It seems like that's like his whole brand, you know. I feel like for a long time he's kind of been a pop rapper. Nevertheless, he says, you better do a show inside the bitty. Maroon 5 need a verse. You better make it witty. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. Top says drop. You better drop and give him 50. So what's he saying here? He's talking about how Kendrick Lamar has a verse with Taylor Swift, of all people. Can't really say that Drake does not really do the same thing, but, you know, I think that, like, Kendrick Lamar kind of makes very, I think the themes of a lot of Kendrick Lamar's music is talking about, you know, Black American families, and, you know, I think Taylor Swift obviously stands as the figurehead of a bit of, like, you know, like, white affluence, you know. I think she's, like, you know, she's a very wealthy pop star, you know. She, you know, most notably, like, takes a private jet everywhere, you know. I think the point Drake's trying to make is that she's, like, not really in the culture. It seems interesting for Kendrick Lamar to offer a verse there, but, you know, so does Drake. And so there's a lot of short jokes in this. You know, Kendrick Lamar's got an album called Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. He says, how you big stepping with a size says, oh, man, I would get cooked in a rap battle. How you big stepping with a size 7 men's on? It's a catchy beat. Drake's winning by most means, because Kendrick, you know, kind of hasn't really gotten a shot back, you know? And then Drake kind of, like, missteps a little bit, to be honest. I'll give a bit of background on this, but second social media only diss track. And for whatever reason, he thinks it's, like, a good idea to use AI to impersonate the voice of Tupac and Snoop Dogg, both sort of big West Coast hip hop figureheads, as I'm sure so you guys know. I think this is kind of alluding to at the end of To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick Lamar plays, plays a bit of a clip of a Tupac interview where it sounds like he's interviewing Tupac. He kind of interpolates his own voice in there, you know, and I think it's meant to be sort of like posturing Tupac as sort of an idol of the rap game for him, as like a figurehead of West Coast hip hop, which Kendrick Lamar is from Compton, California, you know, very much like the, you know, where West Coast hip-hop and Tupac really kind of came from, you know? And so this was kind of a big misstep, because the Tupac estate, like, sued Drake, which is really funny, because they can, because he's, like, impersonating his likeness. So a bit of a misstep, if you ask me, okay? So now we're getting into, like, the most recent songs, you know? Kendrick Lamar drops Euphoria. The title is a ode to the TV show Euphoria, which, you know, is kind of like a high school, you know, drama. I haven't seen it, I'm gonna be real, but, you know, I think I get the gist. And this is sort of, you know, poking at Drake, who famously starred in Degrassi, another, like, teenage sort of drama high school show, you know? And so the big theme of Euphoria is kind of poking fun at the fact that Drake is biracial, and that, like, Drake came from a lot of affluence. He comes from the suburbs, you know. I think this is, like, evidenced by, you know, him being a child actor in the first place. Kendrick raps, "How many more black features till you finally feel like you're black enough?" Also says, "I don't want to talk on no celly. You know I got language barriers. It's no accent you can sell me." This is talking about how Drake has sort of personified this, or has taken on this like new Mandem accent. You know, he's from Toronto and he's employing this like Jamaican patois like rhetoric into his language, you know, kind of, you know, everyone kind of knew that it was kind of fake, but you know, this is like not the first time, you know, a pop star has done this. I'm thinking about like Nicki Minaj, who like went under a British accent for like a little bit. That was kind of funny. I gotta speed this up because I'm running out of time and I really packed in a lot of content thinking I was gonna be like quick with it. So Kendrick Lamar drops Euphoria. And he doubles down with a song called 616 in LA. And in this, there's two objectives of this. One, he's sort of insinuating, have you ever thought OVO was working at, you know, Drake's a bully, and that Kendrick Lamar's got some moles in the Drake camp. OVO is, I think it's called October's Very Own or something. It's Drake's record label. And, you know, subsequently his like brand, his clothing brand or something, you know? And this was kind of a big, another one of those like tests in the water. Cause you know, Euphoria dropped, and you know, nothing from Drake for 3 days. I think Kendrick is looking to unload his mag a little bit and he's prodding Drake to drop something. So Drake retorts with a song called Family Matters. It's an 8-minute diss track. It was, accompanied by a music video too, which, follows them taking a big van to the dump, to like the scrapyard, which is the same model of the van used in Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City album cover. And so in that was a lot of things. He like disses a bunch of other rappers and stuff, which somebody made the point that like Drake's kind of wasting his time here dissing a bunch of rappers when it's really Kendrick that's like on his heels here. He says that he's insinuating that, you know, Kendrick Lamar is, has been unfaithful to his wife, and, you know, insinuating that, you know, Kendrick Lamar might be like us, like beating his wife, essentially. He says, when you put your hand on your girl, is it self-defense? 'Cause she's bigger than you. This goes along with some of the themes of Kendrick Lamar's album, what's it called? Oh, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, where it discusses a lot of the cycles of trauma within black families. In particular, he kind of addressed his longtime relationship with his fiance, Whitney Alford, of whom Kendrick has been high school sweethearts with. And he kind of talks about some of their like marital problems and maybe some of the violence involved in that. And so Drake really hammers that in, you know, and he's accusing like Kendrick of being this sort of wife beater and insinuating that his child, Kendrick Lamar's kid, might be Dave Freeze, who is Kendrick's longtime best friend and collaborator with his own record label, which I actually don't remember the name of. Nonetheless, insinuating that like maybe his wife is not also, you know, faithful. So then Kendrick Lamar quickly, almost, I think it was like the same day, or if not, I think this all happened within the same matter of like a day or two span. Kendrick wastes no time to retort with Meet the Grams. And it's this really eerie track where he's, you know, he's talking about how, you know, Drake's this slimy man and, you know, talking about how he like, he's doubling down on the fact that like, you know, Drake hid his kid from the world, and so insinuating that Drake might be hiding another kid, a daughter. And he says, you lied about your son, you lied about your daughter, you lied about them other kids that's out there hoping that you come. And I remember there's also a line about how, you know, Drake's father left him. I can't remember exactly ad verbatim what it is, I didn't write it down, but you know, history repeats itself, like Drake's father never claimed him neither, and he's addressing Drake's kids directly. It's very eerie track, you know? Though, this is where the drama kind of gets interesting. Drake goes onto Twitter and writes on his Instagram story that, you know, kind of laughing that, like, what do you mean about a daughter? Like, somebody find me my daughter, then, like, if you find me my daughter, I'll come work for you. Like, there is no daughter that I have, you know? And so what turns out is that this is actually this quote-unquote mole that Kendrick Lamar claims to have had within OVO is all a ruse. It's a double agent. Somebody's been feeding Kendrick Lamar's camp, you know, misinformation about this daughter, and, you know, just as a means to trip him up, because it seems easy picking. You know, Drake hid one kid, maybe there's another kid, you know? So the sort of rhetoric that the sort of narrative that I have in my head is that Kendrick Lamar got wind of this and doubles down, and he drops Not Like Us, which is a banger. It's over DJ Mustard track, real West Coast beat, you know? It's a real West Coast anthem. He's really got, you know, he makes a lot of claims about how, like, Drake can't come to Oakland anymore and he's going to have to stop his tour dates and the West Coast and stuff. And it's real, like, you know, it's real, like, you are not welcome here. And it's, like, emphasized by this, like, groovy West Coast beat. You know, Kendrick's really got, like, California behind him, you know? And the big thing is that Kendrick Lamar insinuates that Drake, might be, like, okay, I got to pick the right word for it because this can be kind of triggering. But he insinuating that Drake has been with younger girls. And he says, I hear you like young. You better not ever go to cell block one. And he's insinuating that, Drake has kind of always had this sort of iffy relationship with, like, young models. A lot of them, well, not a lot of them, but a lot of the internet has scrutinized Drake for being a little grooming-y, texting girls when they turn 18 and inviting them to dinners and stuff. And it's, you know, in lieu of the Puff Daddy, you know, sex trafficking ring, I think is, like, a very relevant thing. And, you know, I'm thinking also, like, Harvey Weinstein too, you know, like, you know, a lot of weird stuff can happen in Hollywood. He also makes an interesting, like, makes a comparison, which I quite liked in the song. He's talking about how, you'll have to go listen to it at home, because I think the way that Kendrick Lamar executes it is way better than how I'm going to paraphrase it. But he talks about how back in the olden days when, you know, black people were still seen as slaves, Atlanta was the mecca for building railroads and trains. And settlers were using, you know, the people of Atlanta to make them richer, to make these, like, trains and railways and whatnot. Fast forward to 2024, he's insinuating that Drake has the same agenda. So, as I've said before, Atlanta is and has been the sort of mecca for trap hip-hop music. And I'm talking about, like, you know, for real. Like, you know, I think about, like, the Migos come from Atlanta. So does Future. So does, like, Young Thug, like, Lil Baby. All these, like, you know, all these prolific trap-style hip-hop artists have come out of Atlanta for the last, like, decade even, I'd like to say, you know? And so he says, you run to Atlanta when you need to check balance, and basically says that, like, you know, you go run to Atlanta to do all these things and to make this money and sort of, you know, what am I going to say? To take advantage of the culture there, you know, and kind of get your way in there. I mean, some could say that Drake also helped a lot of these artists, like, get their number one single, you know, but I could see how, you know, he's a collaborator with these artists to sort of, like, stay relevant with the times and stay relevant with the sounds. And so I thought that was an interesting analogy to the days of old, you know? Okay, I gotta pick it up here. So drops that and says that, you know, Drake's a very terrible person and implicates that Drake, you know, also on top of, you know, the big thing is, like, you know, him being involved with young women is the big thing. Young girls, I'd say. You know, also says that he's, like, you know, a compulsive liar and he's got gambling issues and, you know, a lot of these things, and really, like, comes at Drake's legitimacy as a rapper, saying he's not a colleague, he's a colonizer, talking about how he's, you know, taking advantage of Atlanta's rap scene, you know. Okay, I really gotta speed it up here. And so the most recent track is Drake volleying back at The Heart Part 6, which is making fun of Kendrick Lamar's The Heart series, where he kind of plainly kind of addresses the state of hip-hop and, you know, things in his life. And, you know, Drake kind of comes back with a weak response in terms of the, like, you know, I want to say, like, the sort of conduct with, like, sexual conduct with, like, underage women. And he kind of says, like, you know, if I was really doing this shit, like, you know, I'm way too famous and I would have been in jail by now, you know. And it's kind of honestly like a bit of a weak clap back, you know. And also, I guess most importantly in the song, he reveals that, like, yeah, it was a mole, like it was a double agent, you know. Kendrick really didn't have any dirt on Drake at all, you know. It was all just planted in the end. So this is where we stand with the beef, you know. And I'm running out of time here, so I hope you liked my little synopsis, and I talked for, like, oh my god, like 45 minutes about this, but I hope this gave some insight and brought you guys all up to speed of what's going on with the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef. And this is the last I'll talk about it. This is the last you'll have to hear me about it. I'm sure someone else is updating you about this, but I think this is a good thing for hip-hop, all things considered. And I kind of wanted to give a little more of my take, but, you know, I think these things are important for hip-hop. I think this is good for, like, pushing the narrative and pushing, you know, the state of rap. And I think that more and more people, more than ever, have been interested in this music, you know, regardless of, I mean, I think there's some real legal implications here. I just read the news that there was a shooting in front of Drake's house, so I'm kind of waiting to see how this unfolds. Like, this might be some violent thing, so I'm a little bit wary. But as far as the music goes, and we'll see how they take it, because, like, this could end up pretty bad. But as far as things go, you know, I think this is a great thing for hip-hop. The last thing I want to say is, though, I got, like, a minute left. I will be moving my program to Thursdays at 1 p.m. I had to flip around some things for my schedule and whatnot. So if you like what you heard this week, be sure to tune in again. I'm taking a bit of a hiatus to go on vacation. But the next time, if you guys are interested in my programming, and I hope you guys are, I'll be back on Thursday, May 23rd. And so that's it for me, you know. Once again, I'm going to thank you guys all for listening and giving me this platform to ramble on and on about Drake and Kendrick and rap beef. I'm happy that this Instagram scrolling that I've done in my teens has finally come, you know, valuable for me, you know, boring some people about the state of hip-hop music. So once again, I'd like to thank you all out there for listening to my program. It means a ton to me, you know. Really coming down to the bottom of the hour here, but, you know, I hope to see you guys in about 2 weeks. See ya.